and from the Gospel of Luke, 5th chapter and the first 11 verses. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, and left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Those three passages of scripture from Isaiah and 1 Corinthians and Luke, there are verses in there in which three people identify themselves as fallen, as sinful, as the least of all the faithful. Isaiah, he's had a vision of a holy God, and he says, "I am a man of unclean lips, and so are the people." He recognizes that he had fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah, a prophet. Of course, his lips are cleaned, but he first has to acknowledge that his what he has to say comes from unclean lips. Paul, although he goes on about the resurrection of Jesus, he says, "I was the least of all the apostles." He doesn't deserve the title of apostle, says Paul. But why? Because he persecuted the church. He went out of his way to stop the church of Jesus from growing. And why would Peter say, after this abundant catch of fish, why would Peter say, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man"? He says that because he didn't really believe what Jesus told him to do. Put down your nets and try again. I can see Peter, as we learned in this, I'd say the last generation, to roll our eyes. "Well, sure. Lord, I was just out there. We just worked real hard. We came back in and we're cleaning our nets. We didn't catch anything." So Peter realizes he is a man of unbelief. He did what Jesus said, but he didn't believe him. So for your memory purposes this week, you can think of IPP, not like that, but PIP or PPI. I wondered if you'd catch that. Those are the I and P and P, Peter, Paul, and Isaiah, or Isaiah, Peter, and Paul. Whenever you stumble this week, you're in good company. Whenever you confess your sins, you're in good company. But let me tell you about a preacher and a musician. They were brothers. And they went down to Georgia and to various rural groups who had heard little of the gospel in the church. So they're going to Georgia and they're going out in the country. One is helpful in writing hymns and songs, and the other is more the preacher, the pastor type. And they all those going to work in Georgia. Ooh, those Georgians. Well, about after a year and a half, it's not going to happen. The younger of the two gets physically sick and sick and sicker. And he has to close up shop and get out of Georgia. Now, the older brother falls in love. But he's a little slow to propose to his love interest. And she sure enough marries somebody else. And as preachers are just as human as anybody else, he takes it out on her by not letting her go to church where he's the pastor. Well, that doesn't go over well with the relatives. And so the relatives have their ways and means, and they have access to lawyers. And so they're starting to bring a lawsuit against the preacher. The preacher says, it's time to get out of Georgia. And the preacher gets, I read this just last night, 10 days he's struggling to get out of Georgia. He runs off with two other less reputable characters who want to get out of Georgia too. Well, he gets out of Georgia. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Yes, you do. That's our great, 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 great grandfather. John and Charles Wesley, both preachers in the early 1700s, so over 250 years ago. You thought I was talking about some show on TV, didn't you? John and Charles Wesley were sinners and failures when they went to Georgia to be ministers and singers and gospel singers. Not a good start. Not a good start for John and Charles Wesley. Trained for the ministry, they just couldn't quite get it right in Georgia. Well, they finally got out. They got home, and they were failures, but they didn't stay failures. And then that's the rest of the story. God's call is to people who fall. God's call is to people who fall. They fall flat on their face. They fall from high times to low places. They fall and struggle to get up. Who hasn't fallen and can't get up? Or at least that's on TV. People from all walks of life, billionaires, millionaires, people on a fixed income, people on disability, people that are struggling just to get by, and people who have everything that life could offer, they all fall at some point. How many are called to preach that fall? It's not so much a call to preach or to be a pastor, or it could be. It's as much of a call out of something and then to something. So you fell because of something, maybe something better will come out of that. We try to instruct children and others that are less experienced that just because you fail does not mean you're a failure. Just because you fall does not mean that God is not there with a call for you. People go to Alcoholics Anonymous because they've had a fall. People go to Narcotics Anonymous because they've had a fall. There are grief groups because people have been hurt because somebody else has fallen. To all the things that this fallen world afflicts us to. But they've been called by going to those grief groups. They've been called to healing. We have groups within the United Methodist Church, all sorts of groups that recognize there's something fallen. What can they do in a call to help lift up the fallen? United Methodist Men have one of the, I just went to a dinner last Tuesday about scouting throughout Middle Tennessee. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all sorts of other types of scouting, and celebrating the churches that sponsor scout troops of this and that nature, those that have come up through scouting in some form or fashion in a community. The United Methodist Women have had a great call in the last year to be help people that have fallen into human trafficking, human slavery even today, sexploitation. And United Methodist Women are trying to find ways to keep people out of that trafficking, but also bring them out of that human trafficking. Or simply a call can come to any of us to be all you were meant to be. Everybody has an enormous potential that has not been realized at any age. At any age. Fulfill your potential runs throughout the scriptures. Adam and Eve had a lot of potential, and Adam and Eve did not fulfill their potential, but they did better after they fell. They somehow found a way to proceed, start a family, and bless the whole world. Fulfill your potential is also a call. God calls you just as you are, but doesn't intend to leave you just as you are. In other words, you don't have to do anything different to respond to God at any point except say, "Lord, here am I." And you might say, "Send me," whatever that might be. And then God does the rest of the work. You just have to, as we sang, trust and obey. The process is transformation, to be transformed, to be changed, to be sanctified, to use a religious word, to be made holy. Why? For the glorification of God. And to what end? Participation in the kingdom of God, both here and forever. And indeed, we all have unclean lips at some point. Indeed, all of us are the least in the church. Many people have fallen, even within the church, at some point. And all will be sinful again and again, like Peter, who knew better, but he didn't do better at some point. But, as Paul Harvey says, that's not the end of the story. There is the rest of the story. Who knows what we shall be? Who knows what they will be 6 months, a year, 2 years from now? Or tomorrow? A generation ago, you might have started, maybe two generations ago, you might have actually started out and finished your working life at one job, one calling, one vocation. You started with a company, you stayed with them 25 or 30 years, then you got your watch, and you retired. The latest studies indicate that people have 7 to 8 different jobs in a lifetime. Some of those skills will transfer from this job to that job, and some will require learning more skills. So if you go from being a teacher of English to being an accountant, that's a big shift in skills. As Larry said, orientation to ministry. That was a particular group of, I don't know how many, probably total.
We had probably 30. Yeah.
30. So that's 30 people from the Middle Tennessee, our Tennessee conference, exploring. Lenore, my wife, had 5 in her group. There was a woman originally from Thailand, exploring God's call to her. There was an African-American man in that group that Lenore had. There was a woman identified as about 60 years old and quite a talker. Maybe she will be a preacher. She said there were 2 more women in the group, and they were much quieter. And so these people are exploring God's call on their life. They're exploring options for ministry in the United Methodist Church. So it may be to be a lay speaker that could go on to become a local pastor, what we call local pastors, that's full-time or part-time. They could go on to youth ministry, or they could follow a longer path to ordination as either a deacon or an elder. Or they might simply be employed as administrative or staff people within the United Methodist Church. But these people of all different ages were exploring God's call on their life. Yet the ministry of the laity also is fulfilled in simply staying in church, working at home and in the community, in vocations that are not explicitly church vocations. Of course not. The vast majority of people are not employed by the church, but they're in ministry. God's call. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. All living out their faith through these vocations. So Martin Luther was great about this. He said, whatever you do, it can be a Christian calling. Just apply your faith to whatever you do. You didn't have to become a priest or a nun or join a religious order. And so that became, in the Middle Ages, very much those were the religious people, and here were the peasants and the other workers over here. Martin Luther had the wonderful sense that said these people are called too. But their vocation is not just to be in the church as religious, but their vocation is in the world, to be in the world but not necessarily of the world, but maybe to help transform the world. So, the key today for all of us is to stay alert, like Isaiah. Stay alert to a vision that leads and guides you. Isaiah had a vision. Some of us have dreams. We should pay attention to our dreams. They're not like the dreams of the Bible. They're very mixed up, but you should pay attention to them. It says something about you, if nothing else. Stay alert to what you experience. Stay alert to Paul, what Paul went through. He was on the other side of the life of the church in persecuting it. On the road to Damascus, something happened to the man. On some of the roads that you are on, something may happen to you to help you say, "What, Lord? Here I am." Or, like Peter, stay alert to your gifts. Peter obviously was a pretty good fisherman. That's what he did. But he then transferred those skills, whether it was just his strength or his will or just simply a sense of the images of catching. He transfers those skills to catching people for the kingdom of God. So you have skills that can be transferred in all sorts of ways. This church would not be what it was if you didn't bring your work skills into the life of this church and apply them to our needs here and in the community. Stay alert. You might have a vision. Stay alert to the experiences you have. Stay alert to the gifts and skills you already have. What is God calling you to do with those gifts and skills now? Value, please do. Value where you have been, where you are now, and trust God to keep calling you, as the advertisement says, to be all you can be. In a life of faith and hope and love. No other institution in our society will emphasize faith, hope, and love like our churches. Keep alert wherever that might be to express faith, hope, and love in your calling. So for some, it might be a new job. For some, it might be the same job with new skills. For others, it's simply applying yourself in whatever school or training you're in. To our youth, they will go from grade to grade to year in learning and then applying that in some form or fashion as they get older. For the rest of us, or all of us, there are stages of life. There's the early education and training, being raised up, and then being launched into a workforce, into society. For some, it'll be marriage. For some, it will be parenthood is the next stage. For others, it is simply finally becoming an involved citizen, doing all the volunteer work that you can do in the community, or running for elected political office. For others, it's what do I do now in retirement? Some of the greatest servers and givers are people that have retired. And then there are different states of health that all of us at some point have to deal with. What is God's call when your health is not what it should be? What is God's call? God always is calling. I simply say, stay alert. Stay alert. Like Isaiah, like Peter, like Paul. You never know when God needs somebody to do something great. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for opportunities. Help us to keep our eyes and ears open this coming week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.